Well, there's been enough preaching already. I'm trusting the Lord's already using it to work in your hearts tonight. Amen. I believe God's got some more for us. Amen. I have your Bibles this evening. Turn with us, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. Book of Luke, chapter number 24. Try to share with you what the Lord's laid on our heart tonight. Let me say something about my son, and please, Lord, please, I don't want you to think I'm boasting by no means. God's been good to me. Amen. But I want to tell you this. I hope this will help somebody. There's a family on my mind tonight that got so caught up in one of their child's athletic abilities. They moved to another entire part of the state so that their daughter could go to a good high school that was known for turning out college basketball players.
What about that?
She's talented, no doubt. She's athletic. But they left their church, which they was involved in. They walked away from the church. They walked away, I believe all my heart, from the will of God.
Yeah, no doubt.
Moved to another town just so she could play ball. And they're pumping everything they can into her so she can succeed in the basketball world. Well, if that's your prerogative, have at it. But there's something more important than the sports world. Sports have consumed our country. I like it, don't get me wrong. I watch some of it and get involved in some of it, and maybe to an extent it's all right, but I'm telling you, it's consuming folk.
It is.
And I just want to say tonight that I'd rather hear my child in his bedroom beside his bed praying and trying to get a hold of God. That does more for me than if I was standing in the stands and watching him shoot three-pointers or watching him run touchdowns or watching him hit home runs. Hey, I'd rather hear him pray. I'd rather see him do something for God as I had ever. I want them to succeed in some kind of sports world. I'm telling you, friend, there's more things important than winning a trophy at the end of a season. I thank God we need to focus on winning a crown at the end of life. That's what's real important. Amen. It's all about what's your priority. Amen. Just where your priorities are. I'm not, if your kid's playing ball, don't go say I said they shouldn't do that. But more, Lord, if that's more important than you, though, there's something wrong somewhere. They can blow out a knee and forget playing ball ever again. But my soul, if they get saved and they start living for the Lord, that stuff's going to last eternally. Amen? That's what's important. Don't dare keep your kids out of church so they can go to ball practice. Amen? You're showing real profoundly what's important to you. Amen? God help us. Thank God. God's been good to me.
Amen.
God's been good to me. And I give him all the glory for it. Luke chapter number 24. There may be some in here this evening that's not been getting in on what God's been doing. I've been in that shape before. I was in a meeting one night, and Brother Barry, it's getting on, I guess you'd say. These folk up shouting and everything else, and I was sitting there cold as ice.
Yeah, I've been there too, brother.
Yes. I didn't know what in the world was wrong.
Yes.
Then to beat it all, the preacher got up kindly when the service was coming to a close, and he made this statement. And I may have made this statement before, but I hope I never do it again. He made this statement. He said, if you didn't feel nothing tonight, there's one of two things wrong with you. You're either lost or you're backslidden. Well, I mean, that sounds right. So I started examining myself. I mean, I was really looking. And I ruled number one out real quick. I knowed I wasn't lost.
Right.
I had that thing settled. So I started begging God. God, show me if there's something wrong. Show me, God, if I'm out of your will. Show me if I let something slip somewhere and I'm not where I need to be with you. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, son, it ain't all about what you feel.
Amen.
It ain't based on feelings. It's based on faith and facts.
Yes.
Amen. Faith and facts. But on the other hand, I want to say this. Sure am glad I can feel something every now and then. Ain't you? I mean, listen, when you get in a state where you're just dried up and you're cold and you're wanting to get in on it, but you can't, that's a sad shape to be in. It don't necessarily mean you're lost. Don't necessarily mean you're backslidden. But friend, you do need to find what God would have you so you could get to that place to where you could feel something again. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir, preacher. Amen.
I'm trying to share something with you, Lord, that's laid on my heart tonight.
Amen.
Luke chapter 24, begin reading verse number 13. The Bible said, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets, all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Verse number 32 is where I want you to see. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Father, we love you tonight. We want to thank you again for the privilege you've given us to be here. Thank you, Father, for what we've already heard, Lord. Thank you for speaking to hearts. Lord, I want to thank you for being good to me. Lord, I bless your name tonight.
Lord, I just pray now, Lord, for the next few minutes that you'd help us and continue to work in our midst. God, I stand in great need of you, and I pray, God, you'd anoint us afresh, Lord, and give us liberty, Lord, to preach what you put in our heart. Lord, do a work in the pews, and whatever you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, and we'll give you the glory for it. Lord, for it's in Christ's precious name we pray, and amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. It hadn't been too long ago. Myself and my wife was driving home. And I looked over at her and I made this statement. I just said, honey, I think that I'm just about burnt out. I don't know if you've ever been there before or not, but I said, I believe I'm just about burnt out. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you stay in this thing long, there's going to come a time when you're going to feel like you're just about burn out. Amen. I'd say for sure with God moving around here and doing what he's been doing, there's bound to be a few folk. You've been watching it and you've been seeing everything happening and the really down depths of your heart, you'd like to get in on it. Amen. I mean, you'd like to feel something. You'd like for God to start blowing the wind towards your direction. But you sit there. Listen, friend, I know what that's like. I've been there before. And listen, that's what revival is. Amen. We need to pray and ask God, as the word of God said, will thou not revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Amen. I've been that time in my life and my ministry where I just about lost my joy. Amen. I just kept on doing what I was supposed to do. Matter of fact, Brother Brad, I heard a preacher preach and he preached on spiritual robots. Amen. Man, he said a robot. He said a lot of us is no more than a robot. We're doing what we're programmed to do, but we're doing everything without any kind of feeling whatsoever. And if you ain't careful, you'll get in that mode and you'll get in that mindset and you'll keep on doing what's right. You'll keep on doing what you're supposed to do. You'll keep on going to church. You keep on getting your Bible out, but you just get to where it's no more than a habit, no more than a program that's run by you. But I want to tell you, friend, it don't have to be that way. You can get to a place where you can enjoy the things of God. You can get in on it. Amen. You can get to the place where God stirs down in the depths of your heart. You don't have to watch everybody shout. It could be you shouting. Amen. Amen. It can get that way. But I noticed these two men on the road to Emmaus. And they're walking together, they're communing together, and the Lord shows up. I like it when the Lord shows up. Amen. It can make you walk a whole lot better when the Lord shows up. Well, the Lord showed up in their midst and began to walk with them and began to talk with them and starts communing with them. And he asked them a question, said, well, why is your countenance so sad? And they said, well, you don't know what's been going on around here. And he said, well, what's been going on around here? And so they start telling him, said, well, the Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was going to be the one to deliver us. We thought he was the Messiah for now. But they've crucified him. And our hope's about gone. Well, I like what the Bible said. He started in the scriptures and expounded the scriptures to them of all things that concerned him. It had to be a pretty good walk. Amen. Amen. He started back through there going and quoting all those scriptures that pertain to himself. My soul, they get on down the road and Jesus was going to act like he was going to go on further. So they constrained him to come in. They said, well, the day he's far spent. You might as well come on in with us now. So the Lord goes in and he sets down to meet with them. And after a while, though, he leaves their midst. And I love what verse number 32 said. They said one to another, did not, in past tense, did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. In past tense, did not. They looking back. Did not our hearts burn within us? I want to ask you tonight, I don't know who you are.
I don't know what kind of shape you're in, but is anybody looking back at a time when the fire of God used to burn in your heart? Are you looking back to a time when you used to get in on it? Again, you look back to a time when you saw the joy of the Lord in your life, when you did used to enjoy the house of God, you used to enjoy the preaching of the Word of God, but now you just go along because it's right. Yeah, that's what happened to these men. They looking back now and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Boy, if you ever come to that time in your life, I believe with all my heart you can get that fire burning again. Church, we don't realize the importance of a Holy Ghost fire burning in our midst. See, listen, that's what revival, we want the fire God to fall. Ain't that right? Amen. We want the fire God to fall. You know how it does? It falls in our hearts. Amen. And then in our midst. Amen. I'm telling you, church, we need the fire of God. We've gotten cold and dry. Y'all are blessed here. I'm telling you. Please, church, don't take for granted what God's been doing around here and what you've got here in the man of God. You're blessed, church. I go to so many places now. I thought it's like, boy, I never got out of Robbinsville not long ago. Amen. And I thought everywhere's like Robbinsville. I thought it's just old country folk that love God. Amen. But I've got out of Robbinsville now and I'm finding it ain't like that everywhere. Churches ain't like this everywhere. Amen. There's way more that I go into that ain't had a fire of God burning in so long they wouldn't know what it was like if God did set it on fire. Amen. Yesterday morning, preacher, I'm not going to say no names or anything, but I went to a meeting yesterday morning and I was glad to be there and thank for the opportunity, but I sat there, and when I would say amen, I felt so out of place. Amen. I thinking to myself, if I can just make it back to Rogersville, amen, it's going to be all right tonight. Amen. If I can just get through this morning, it'll be all right tonight. Thank God it ain't like this everywhere. You better be thankful that God's still stirring and God's still moving here. Amen, where you're at tonight, and you better not take it for granted. Amen. And I'd be naive to think that there wasn't some sitting here still just spectating. Amen. And there may be some reasons for that, and I'll hit on that in a little bit. But my soul, I know they, all my heart, there's some good folk right here tonight. Amen. You're living it right. You're doing the best you can do. But it's just kindly like the fire has gone out in your heart. Amen. Now listen, God put this on my heart so I know it's right. Amen. I know it's right. There's some folks sitting in here tonight. Down on the depths of your heart, you can still put on a smile. You still try to act like everything's going well, and you still act like you got a little fire left. But you know good and well down the depths of your heart, there's nothing burning and there's nothing churning no more. Amen. Boy, when it gets like that, I'm going to try to help you tonight if Lord help us. Amen. No, first thing you got to do, you got to face the facts. That's the first step. If you ever want a fire burning down your heart again, you've got to face the facts. You've got to be the first one to admit it. You've got to be the first one to realize it and say to yourself, I'm just been about burnt out. It don't seem like the fire's still there no more. Amen. You're going to have to face the facts. Church, we're like an old locomotive train. We ain't going to go nowhere unless there's a fire burning on the inside. Amen. We got to have a fire burning on the inside if we're going to do anything for the glory of God. If we're going to worship, if we're going to witness, we're going to have a fire burning out down in the depths of our heart. Amen. That old engineer, when he sees a big mountain up ahead, he'll tell that one shoveling the coal, He'll say, throw a few extra shovelfuls in there. We're about to have to climb a hill. Amen. I'm telling you, that locomotive will never get over the mountain unless that fire gets a burning. No wonder, preacher, we got folks falling out by the wayside. No wonder we letting the storms blow us off course. We ain't got no fire burning down in the inside, in our souls, in our heart, to keep us going on for the glory of God. You got to have that fire to keep you from quitting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to have fire down somewhere in the inside to keep you from quitting. Jeremiah chapter number 20 and verse number 9. Oh, I've been where Jeremiah was.
Yeah.
Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him. Oh, I have been there before. I just, Brother Rackley hit it there a little while ago. I'm just going to throw in the towel. I don't seem like nobody's interested. I don't seem like nobody else is trying. I don't know if it's worth it or not. I believe I'll just go ahead and go to the house and lay her down. But thank God Jeremiah tried to. Amen. I've been there at you. He tried to, but he said he couldn't stay. You know why he couldn't quit? You know why he couldn't stay? There was a fire. The word of God was a fire. Shut up in his bones. And he couldn't stay. Thank God if you don't have a little fire burning down in your soul, you'll be the next one falling out by the wayside. You'll be the next family not in the house of God on Sunday morning. You're going to have a fire burning down in your soul to keep you going. You got to have fire to keep you from quitting. Well, we need a fire to keep us from doubting. The whole reasoning for the Mount Carmel showdown was to remove doubt. Amen. The whole reason Elijah called the prophets of Baal and the prophets of groves to Mount Carmel was to remove all doubt from the minds of the people who God was. Amen. You know the story. I don't have to go into detail. But they met up there on Mount Carmel. And they let Elijah let the prophets of Baal go first. They built the altar up. They laid the sacrifice in order. I mean, they done everything they were supposed to do. And they began to cry out to Baal. Whoa, Baal. They even began to cut themselves. I mean, they were doing everything they could do to try to get fire to fall. Elijah, in the power of God, he stepped back and began to mock them and make fun of them. Hey, boys, maybe you need to cry a little louder. Maybe he's hard of hearing. My soul, they try to get the fire to fall, but it didn't work. So it came time for the evening sacrifice. Elijah goes and he repairs the altar. Boy, I want to say this. If we're wanting a fire back in our hearts, we need to do some repairing around the altar. Amen. Amen. He got that altar fixed back up. He got the sacrifice laid out. He called for the water. They dug the trench. Amen. You know the story. And after he prayed that little prayer, amen, thank God, the fire God fell in that place and it removed all doubt. You need the fire God to fall that he might be able to remove the doubt. We got folks sitting in here tonight. I know where we're at. I know who your pastor is. But I believe with all my heart there's some folks sitting in here tonight. You probably won't admit it. But you're sitting there thinking, we ain't going to have revival. Amen. We ain't going to see. Oh, yeah, maybe a little something astir. But we ain't going to have much happening this day and time. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I'm praying that the fire of God falls, that it might remove all doubt. And from Roger Steele Baptist Temple, if we get the fire to fall, I dare you to sit back and think God can't do nothing. Amen. But it's not in me. It's not in Brother Barry. It's not in Titus. And we got to have the power and the fire of God. If he'll fall, and then it'll remove all doubt. I believe we can still have it. Amen.
Hey,
Oh, God, send the fire. Send the fire. We need the fire to keep us from quitting. We need the fire to remove all doubt. We need the fire to keep us from straying. Children of Israel over there wandering in the wilderness. What God send to guide them? Pillar cloud by day and a pillar fire by night. Amen. See, he needed that. They needed the fire when it's dark. I don't know about you, but I ain't seen much of a darker day than the day that we're living in. Oh, we need the fire of God to lead us and guide us and direct our paths. Amen. We got to have the fire of God. And if you're sitting here tonight and it feels like there's no fire burning and you're down to a flicker, maybe there's just a spark left. I'm telling you, you're going to have to face the facts tonight and go ahead and admit where you stand with God.
That's good.
Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, you ain't got no fire. You ain't got no joy. You just been spectating everything. Ain't nothing wrong with spectating. It's so much better when you get to participate. Amen. I like to watch people shout. I like to hear people shout. I'm telling you, my wife, she's not she don't shout all the time. Just put that, and that don't mean that she's not spiritual. Amen. But there has been a few times. There has been a few times. And when she does, it ain't nothing worked up. No. First time, I probably count them on one hand. But I'll never forget the first time. She was in the altar praying with one of her family members. And boy, she got through praying in there. Service was going good. And about that time I heard one of them squeals. I'm talking about one of them run chills up your back. I thought, who in the world was that? Amen. And I happened to look over yonder and my dear old wife, she had both arms reached toward heaven, there on her knees in the altar. And boy, she let her roll. Amen. You talking about doing something for me? Hey, I took me a good lap. Amen. Hey, I like to watch and I like to hear folk, but I'd like something better than all that. I like it when the Holy Ghost stirs that in my soul. Amen. I'm talking about my soul. I like to hear somebody else, but I like it when it's in my soul. Amen. I like it when I can't help it. Amen. I like it when I have to look back and see if that was me or not. Amen. Thank God, friend, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it when it gets on you and you ain't watching everybody else. Is everybody going to shout? I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out. Amen. Maybe they won't shout, but at least maybe a tear will flow or something. Amen.
Yeah,
that's something.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest with you. There's some folk going to have to go and learn how to worship when they get to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Don't have a clue how. And some people say, well, I don't feel nothing. I done told you about them feelings. If you can't shout on your faith, you'll never shout on your feelings. Amen. If you can't worship by your faith, you won't be able to worship by your feelings. And if all you're waiting on is feelings, I'm wondering about your worship in the start with. Amen. Thank God, because he's good. When I don't feel good, he's still good. When things are falling apart in my life, he's still good. I'm going to tell you, friend, he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of your worship no matter what you feel like. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I don't know who told us we had to wait on a chill bump. I don't know who told us we had to wait till we got a feeling. I'm telling you, he's worthy to lift up our hands before heaven and say, thank you, Lord. If you'll do that a time or two, who knows, you might get to feeling like it. Amen. Amen. I ain't trying to work nothing up. But boy, it'd be all right if it works its way down. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, there's nothing wrong with worshiping God. Nothing wrong. It's always appropriate and never out of order to worship the Lord. Amen. And if you're here tonight, you ain't got, I mean, you're just going to have to face the facts. Go ahead and admit it. I'm just in a place where I don't think I can. I'm in a place where there's nothing there. It feels like a fire's gone. You need to pray and let God send a little fire down in your soul. Amen. One more time. Face the facts. Face the facts. You want the fire to fall. If you want the fire to burn, you're going to have to face the facts. Some of our churches ain't had no fire in so long. You know what Spurgeon said? He said to put new converts into most of our churches is like putting chicks under a dead hen.
My goodness, brother.
What about that? Like putting chicks under a dead hen. Go and visit some churches. I'm just telling you, you'll see what I'm saying. Amen. Dried up and cold and indifferent and so dignified, and oh my, I pray I never get so dignified that I can't worship the Lord. My soul, there ain't no good about me anyhow. I ought to be in hell, and it really don't matter what y'all think about me. My God's worthy of my worship, and if he can get a little glory out of a hand being raised, if he gets glory out of my shout, if he gets glory out of my tears, I don't care what y'all think. God's been good to me, and I want to worship him. I just want to worship him. I want the fire to burn. You're going to have to face the facts. If you want the fire to burn, you're going to have to be faithful to fellowship. You're going to have to be faithful to fellowship. What they say there in verse number 32, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way. You're going to have to stay faithful to fellowship. Don't expect the fire of God to burn your heart when you hardly ever go to church. When it don't take nothing to keep you at the house. You know, it's amazing. Any little thing keep us at home on Sunday, but ain't nothing keep us at home on Monday. Amen. And no wonder you ain't got no fire burning. I'm telling you, every time a doors are open, you ought to be present and accounted for. Amen. You're going to have to stay faithful to fellowship. And there was a gentleman that hadn't been coming to church in a while. He got to be one of the normal Baptists and just kind of started laying out and just come every now and then. Well, the pastor got it on his heart to go see him. He went and knocked on his door, and the feller came over to the door and opened up the door and saw it's the preacher, and he said, come on in, preacher. I guess I know why you're here. Preacher came in. The feller said, have a seat, preacher. Preacher walked over and sat down in the chair and just sat there and never said a word. That old feller's dying. Preacher, just go ahead and say something. Just go ahead and get it off your chest. Do whatever you came to do. But instead of saying a word, your preacher saw the fireplace over there. He walked over to the fireplace without saying anything and picked up the tongs laying there beside the fireplace and reached into that fire and pulled out a big red hot coal. When he did, he just set it off to the side by itself. laid the tongs down, went back to his chair and sat down, never said a word. That old feller sitting there, and he got to watching what the preacher was doing. Saw him take that hot coal off the fire and put it off by itself. And he watched that hot coal begin to darken down, cool down, and the fire disappeared. Preacher never said a word. He stood up and started for the door. And the old feller began to cry. And as the preacher walked out the door, that feller said, "Preacher, I'll see you Sunday morning." No wonder we got much fire burning in our hearts and in our homes when we just half-heartedly go into the house of God, half-heartedly go to Sunday school every now and then. Amen. I'm telling you, if you want a fire to burn, you're going to have to be faithful to fellowship. Face the facts. Be faithful to fellowship. And every chance you get, you need to put some fuel on the fire. I said, every chance you get, you need to put some fuel on the fire. Amen. And you better be careful what you put in the stove. Amen. Everything won't burn. This crowd sat at home on Sunday morning and turn on some of that stuff on TV. And think you can get a fire burning off of some of that stuff. I don't care if they got a suit and tie on or not. And by the way, half that crowd on TV don't even have that on no more. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, it's just anything won't burn. And if all you ever do is reading stuff that don't pertain to the Word of God and watching stuff that don't pertain to God and spiritual things, and you fill your mind up and you fill your soul up with all of that stuff, you ain't never going to get no fire to burn. You ain't never going to get excited about the things of God. Amen. You better be careful what you're putting in your stove if you want a fire to burn. He dealt with the Word of God. That's when their hearts burned. When the scriptures was being expounded upon. Amen. That's what the fire was burning in Jeremiah's bones. It was the Word of God that was shut up on the inside. That's what was left that was burning. If you want something to burn, you need to get the Word of God out every now and then. No wonder our churches ain't got no fire when the only one that ever picks up a Bible is the preacher and every now and then a Sunday school teacher. I'm telling you, friend, we need some folks in the pews that's spending time in the Word of God. We want a fire to burn. We need some folk. I'm talking about folk in the pews getting in the Word of God, spending some time, and let the Word of God catch up. Church, I'm going to tell you something this evening. There's nothing wrong with the fuel. There ain't nothing wrong with the fuel. But the fuel does have to get in the right place for it to burn. You need to face the facts. You need to stay faithful to fellowship. You need to feel the fire. And every chance you get, then you need to fan the flame. I like to do that. If I can't get it burning in mine, I sure try to get it burning in yours. Amen. If we can get it burning in yours, it may get out. And it may spread. Amen. Boy, if we can just get two or three this week. Absolutely on fire for God. Only God knows what it would do. If we get the conditions right around the church, amen, and get the wind a blowing, that thing can catch up and spread across. I'm telling you, friend, if you see somebody getting excited about God, getting on fire for the things of God, leave the wet blankets alone, friend. Amen, and start fanning the flame every chance you get. Like to hear them girls get up here and start singing. They sung my favorite song tonight. It is well. I've watched God use young people more often than not than adults. I'm just being honest, preacher. We had that Christian school over there. I want to tell you what I do. I tried to keep those kids in meetings constantly. If there's a camp meeting somewhere, if there's a revival, if there's a jubilee, we'd load up the old school bus. And we'd get all of them on board and we'd take them to meeting. I try my best. I found out I had a whole lot less trouble out of them if we was in meetings more often. Amen. Faithful to fellowship. Amen. We'd go a month or so and not be a meeting nowhere for us to go to. Them kids start getting out of line, getting out of hand. We'd have bickering and a biting and everything else going on. I could say, well, we ain't been to a meeting in a while. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I watched this happen more than one time. We get some of those kids get on fire for God. Brother Barry, we took them to a revival one night, not too far from Robbinsville. And I'll tell you, friend, God moved in that place that night. And we had one or two, maybe three of our kids saved from the school that night in that service. Well, we left the meeting and we wanted to take them by McDonald's and get them a little sandwich on the way home before we took them back home. And we pulled that old bus into McDonald's, and about the time we pulled into McDonald's, we had another get saved in the back of the bus. Amen. Well, I didn't even know. I was driving a bus, and a few of us up front, we'd done file off the bus, headed into McDonald's, standing in there in line. About that time, we had two or three of them that was in the back of the bus, came off that bus and busted through the doors of McDonald's, and a couple of them shouting. Wow! Oh, so-and-so just got saved in the back of the bus. And I mean, man, they was excited and everything else. And there was an old dignified Baptist happened to be in there. And he walked by me, knowed who I was. Yeah. I knowed who he was.
Yeah, Brother
Whitblack. Yeah. And as he walked by me, he said, "There ain't nothing to this junk." I'm going to be honest with you. It's all I could do to keep my fist from balling up. I'm telling you the truth now. You can think that's awful. I know it is, but boy, I had some bad thoughts.
That's right.
Amen. You know, it's one thing when it's somebody in public like that, but it's another thing when it's somebody in the church you're in. And you don't even have to say nothing out loud. You let one of these youngins or somebody get stirred up and get excited about God and start testifying and can't understand half of what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do it, baby. I like it. If I'm any more near, I'll start fanning. Fan the flame! Fan the flame! But there's always somebody over there saying,
yeah.
Ain't nothing to that.
Yeah.
That's just show. I know where they was last week. They may got right since last week.
Amen.
I don't know. And maybe they are some that live like a devil and come in and try to run the aisle. I don't know. Maybe there are some. Leave that up between them and God. And I'll be honest with you, your spirit will bear witness with them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He'll bear witness with it, whether it's real or not.
Amen.
One thing when it's in public, it's another thing when it's in the church. And then it's even a step further when it's in the house. We had one young lady. Mama brought her out there to the school. And honest to goodness, we tried our best not to take just anybody and everybody. You can't. And we decided we wasn't going to let no students come that didn't want to come. If they don't want to be there, they're going to cause trouble.
Sure they will.
So we made the kids tell us, you know, if they wanted to be there or not. Well, Mama knowed that. So she rehearsed and made her child say, I want to come. And they just barely met all the criteria and this and that. And so we reluctantly let her come. But we started taking that young lady to meetings. She got right with the Lord. And she fell in love with the Lord like she never had before. I think she got saved in one of her chapel services. And then started going to meeting with us. And I started seeing the Lord do wonderful things in that Amen. Young lady's life. Amen. Brother Barry, she'd call us. She'd say, can I go to church with y'all Sunday? I'd say, if it's all right with your mom, we'll come get you. Yeah, we'd come get her. We'd take her. And she'd say, you going to any meetings this week anywhere?
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah, we've got it. We've gone going over to a revival Thursday. Can I go? Yeah, if it's all right with your mama. We'd go get her. Well, after about a month of that, she got a little more religious than Mama wanted.
Uh-oh. I've seen
that. Let me tell you what happened now. The Lord led her to break up with her boyfriend who was bad news.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, it was obvious. I'm talking about bad news. And God told her to break up with him, and she did. But boy, she's getting too close to God, too excited about the Lord. I believe what happened, she got closer to the Lord than Mama was. And it started convicting Mama's heart. Amen. And she didn't like it too much, so she started putting a stop to it. Stop letting her go with, well, she needs to stay here and do this and do that. That's how it started.
Yeah.
Well, we was having, it's kind of like camp meeting. We'd call it Spirit Week at our school. We'd have morning services, night services. And so the first day of our Spirit Week, Mama shows up and see all the parents, everybody's invited to come to those morning services. Mama showed up with her ex-boyfriend, went and got him and brought him out there and tried to get them back together. It's one thing when it's in public. It's another thing when it's in the church. It's totally different when it's in the house. Friend, if you can get your kid excited about God, do everything you can. Pave the way for them. Fan the flame. Do all you can. Even if they get closer to God than you are. Amen. Thank God for it. My soul be amazed what God do some of these young folk around here if mom and daddy just get behind them instead of getting in front of them and trying to stop them. Get behind them and pray that God would do something in their heart. Maybe it'll spread over into yours after a while. Amen. But please, friend, if you see the fire of God get started somewhere, don't try to put it out. Fan the flame. Do what you can to encourage them. You see these young people, I don't care if they can't carry a tune to bucket and one comes up here and wants to sing a song. Bless God, let them sing a song. And if you didn't understand what they're singing about, but they done it for the glory of God, tell them they done a wonderful job and keep it up. Encourage them for the glory of God. Fan that flame. Fan the flame. We need a fire of God to burn. That's what we need this week. We need fire of heaven to fall. Amen. I'm telling you, it's already been good.
Amen.
If the preacher said we're through tonight, I'd say, boy, it's been good.
Yeah.
My soul. Just think we all just got a fire burning.
Amen.
Everybody brought her own stick. Amen. Started throwing it on the pile and God set her on fire.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something else about the fire. The fire will also do some purging.
Yeah.
Amen. If there's any trash anywhere, burn. The fire will take care of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Fire will take care of that. Well, we get the fire burning in here. There's no doubt there's some voting or got some things harbored up in your heart. Some little petty things you don't want to let go of. Well, we get that fire burning big enough. It'll burn the ropes that's binding.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He'll get rid of some of that stuff. And boy, we just need God to move.
Yeah.
We need God to move.
Amen.
if you're here tonight and you just don't feel like you got no fire, if you know you're saved, boy, I'd come up here and I'd beg God to light a Holy Ghost match in your heart again. Clean the stove out first. Get rid of all the old ashes. Get rid of all the fuel that won't burn. And beg God to put some fuel in there and set a Holy Ghost match on. And Lord, set me afire for the glory of God. But if you're here tonight and you ain't never had no fire, and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've watched everybody else do this, you watch everybody else do that, and you leave the same way you always come, and you go back out into the world and you keep doing the same old thing you've always done out there, that may be a good reason you ain't got no fire. I'm telling you, friend, nobody won't burn for the glory of God that's never been saved. I've watched them, preacher. They'll get right, or they'll do something spiritual, or they'll do something religious over a lot of different reasons. Had one old feller, I worked on an ambulance for 9 years as a paramedic. And one of my buddies that I worked with every now and then, I stayed on to him all the time, begged him, come church, begged him, come church. I'd say, are you saved? You know, you say, I'm saved. I remember I got saved. And wouldn't ever go to church, wouldn't ever live right, wouldn't ever want to do nothing. But kept saying, I'm saved. The old boy, and I probably shouldn't be telling this, but nobody knows names or anything like that. We had an HIV positive patient. That old boy started an IV on him. And you ain't going to believe this. I mean, of all times, he sat down on that needle and he stuck it. This is a true story. Sunday morning, I didn't call him. I didn't invite him again. He came busting through the back doors of the church. The service went on for a little while and he couldn't stand it no more. He took off a running out of his pew. He slid into an altar. He was weeping. He was crying. He was begging God for this and begging God for that and everything else. And I mean, we thought, man, he got in. He got her fixed. He got it right. Thank God. Answered prayer. Well, the blood tests come back.
Listen.
Everything was negative.
Yep.
I couldn't get him to come back to church for nothing.
Right.
Yeah. You know what that's called? Worldly sorrow. That's just worldly sorrow.
Yeah.
Somebody gets caught in their sin.
Yeah.
And they come running to the church and they go to the altar and they weep crocodile tears. Oh, I'm sorry. You ain't sorry because you sinned. You're just sorry because you got caught.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot more of that going on than what you're thinking. Something happens in their life, the bills, they can't pay the bills, so they turn to God and they run the altar. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And a check comes in, they're able to catch up on their bills, and they're gone again.
Ain't nothing to that.
Nothing to it.
Nothing to it.
Maybe there's a reason you can't get no fire.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a reason you can't get excited about church.
Listen.
There's a reason you can't be faithful. Fire won't just burn anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, brother.
Maybe there's a reason. We pray that God would send fire.
Hey.
Holy Ghost fire. Let it fall in not just this place. Let it fall in this place.
Amen.
If it'll fall in this place, it'll fall in this place.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We need to fire God. Rogersville Baptist Temple, one of the finest churches I've found in a long time. But if a fire of God don't continue to fall, y'all dry up just like all the other churches.
Listen to that. God help us to hear it.
You got a man of God, Ian Paisley. Anybody ever heard of him? Old Irish preacher. Heard him say this one time. He said, "Preacher, When you get in a pulpit, you need to be on fire so the people can watch you burn. Y'all got preachers, got some fire. Amen, but you better not take it for granted. Just because he's on fire don't mean you're always going to be on fire. You don't need to worry about your preacher. You don't need to worry about the one sitting across the aisle or the one in front of you. I'm asking you tonight, you got any fire? You got any fire? Have you ever had any fire? Do you want any fire? Would you like to get any fire? Some of you are scared to death what happened if you did get on fire. Let me say this, you get on fire and you won't care. Amen. How you know that, preacher? Because when I do, I don't care. Amen.
Amen.
See what happens?
Yes, sir, preacher.
See what happens? I ain't trying to work nothing out.
No.
Boy, I sure am trying to get God to send something down.
Yes,
sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Send fire.
Yes.
Holy Ghost fire. Our country's depending on it.
Amen.
Our churches are depending on it. Our children are depending on it. Somebody get the fire.